opinion of Slept Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce.
Can I say hi to my second grade daughter, Elizabeth?
No.
You're very popular at Kimberly School. Second grade is loving.
Whatever.
Possible. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Dr. Drew tonight. Dr. Drew is in New York because somebody dropped a nickel. And Dr. Bruce is board certified. He's addiction medicine specialist. He knows emergency medicine. He also does laser tattoo removal. And he really does no more than Drew. It's hard to imagine when you see him standing next to each other. But he really does no more than Dr. Drew. John Mayer is our guest tonight. Hi, John.
How are you? Thank you.
John, I saw on the Grammys. Let me tell you something that was very impressive to me. I saw John doing a, I don't know, what category did you do on the Grammys?
Did I introduce this time?
You and Matthew Perry were
Matthew and
out
I
there.
Did a rock duo or group or pop, I think pop duo or group or something like that.
Matthew's a very good comedic actor who doesn't, you know, seems to show up when it's time to show up. John was marginally better than he was at delivering the category. I was really surprised.
Well,
I mean, it didn't seem like much, but you were like very relaxed, very poised. Your timing seemed good.
For some reason, I care about that. I care about diction, rhythm, all that stuff. I always got like the worst grades in school, but in those very kind of like specialized columns where they wrote the remarks, I would get a fantastic oral reading.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. You see, this is a very good point you bring up, which is a lot of people walk out on stage at these award shows and are surprised to see whatever's on the teleprompter. Always seems to me that maybe you ought to just go over it once or twice before you actually walk out there in front of several million people.
It's the art to everything.
And sort of flub your way through it. And then a lot of people have this thing where it's like, well, I'm not a good reader. Well, that's all the more reason
why
you probably should go over it a couple of times. Like my whole take, here's my thing in life, John. I don't mind a guy who I stop on the street who does not know the words to the Star Spangled Banner.
Right.
I don't mind that guy. I mind the guy who gets booked at the Staples Center six weeks earlier, shows up, and halfway into it realizes
how
he doesn't
does
really
work?
Know.
And they're sober.
Yeah, it's like...
I don't understand.
There is nerves, but some of these guys, you just get the feeling... on the town car ride on the way to the stadium, could have got your system to yank something off the internet, gone over the beats just a couple of times, or maybe one of those quarterback wristband cheat sheets, you know what I mean? Where you just sort of go for the singers, just going down to it, getting the audibles, getting the plays off the wristband.
I have an old Rat Pack like dedication to preparation. Because, you know, you do these shows where you tribute an artist, and they have these teleprompters, which to me, I think a teleprompter is at the bottom of the stage as a cheat sheet if you need it, to kind of load you up on the next line of the next verse. And these people, I've seen the biggest stars in music just stare down. If you're tributing somebody, you should learn. Why not learn the song, prepare for it, but, you know.
A teleprompter, it's heroin. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, once you get a taste, you can't get off it.
It's there if you need it.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
It's there if you need it.
Like heroin, a little recreational fun, no big deal, maybe swingers party, but you don't want to get hooked on it.
But you never saw the old legends. You never saw like Frank Sinatra do the whole like twirl with the finger, you know?
Speed it up, next verse, we skipped it.
You know, it's scary being at a rock concert and seeing an old rocker reading the words to one of their most famous songs on a teleprompter.
If you're going to do that, get a music stand and get a big bunch of pages and let it be known that that's what you're doing. Bruce Springsteen has a giant binder that some PA hands to him before the show, and he goes over his lyrics, and he might even bring them out and put them on a stand. But this whole we know there's a teleprompter now because, you know, there's so many camera angles, you're going to see it eventually.
Right. Really? I like, but see, with rock bands, at least you figure, all right, the guy did so many drugs, got in a couple plane accidents, you know what I mean? Has been beaten by a few ex-wives. I mean, you know what I mean? At least there's something there.
Yeah,
22-year-old rapper, he's really got to just get off the weed
but you know
for that
what?
Particular evening and read the cues before he goes out there.
On the other side of the coin, not that big a deal.
No.
John's right.
John's
always right. All right. We're going to... let's see what we're going
to
do.
I want to get to the pot-induced impotence. This is what I want to get to.
Oh, don't worry.
That's what I want to get to.
It's coming.
I'm ready. I've been preparing.
It's there.
John's CD, Heavier Things, is out now. We will hear something off it in the next couple of few. He's going to be on Leno on the 19th. That's this Thursday. And also at the Universal Amphitheater, which is a very nice venue.
That's not this Thursday, is it? It's next Thursday.
Oh, a week. I'm sorry.
God,
a
I'm
week.
Nervous.
Sorry, buddy. A week from this Thursday.
That's enough plugging.
And then the 21st at the amphitheater. And speaking of plugging, tonight, Crank Yankers, new episode. First season opener. I think Eminem is on doing his thing tonight. So that's at 10:30 on Comedy Central. I know someone said John's a fan of Crank Yankers, so I thought I'd give it a rare plug.
No, I am.
Oh, good. All right. We'll work it out. You do voices. I just heard you do Frank Sinatra.
I don't do voices. Oh.
You could do prank phone calls.
I could do
though,
a great prank phone call. My brothers and I used to do it all the time.
Yeah, see, everyone except for Bruce. Bruce, did you do prank phone calls?
No. Oh, when I was a kid, sure we did.
Oh, you did?
Absolutely.
We've done some great ones. We've done some great ones. In my time, we've done some good ones.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you something. There's a little bit of an art to it. Like, some kid got busted in, like, Orange County last week because he called 911 like 3,000 times.
Yeah.
Anyone could call anyone and go, I'm dying.
Well, the art is that you keep it in your court. And
right.
You don't let any kind of, like, idle time slip by. You're always ready with the nuggets. You always keep the nuggets coming because otherwise you let them have it. And you always steal it back.
But I'm just saying, some people's idea of a practical joke is walking into work and going, hey, Bob, I saw your car. You got a big scratch on it. Oh, what?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Right.
That's not a practical joke because you can do that to anybody. There's nothing
not
to
funny.
Fall for. Why shouldn't he believe you? He's going to go out to the parking lot. It's nothing funny about that. The idea is getting them to do something, to believe something that people wouldn't believe.
Having the car towed is a better practical joke.
Yeah, or driving off a tow truck, as I once said.
My friends and I used to call. We used to be on the same line, on the same line, pick up the phone together and call another friend. And when that person picked up the call, I would say, DMR Communications with a collect call from. And my friend would say the name.
To accept the charges, please say or press 1 now.
And, of course, it's a collect call. And you say,
thank you. You will be connected at a charge of $32.50.
And then the person's like, of course, the person getting the call thinks it's some dire emergency.
Right.
And the person calling says, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I'm good. What's wrong? Oh, nothing. I saw this commercial. They said they're giving a free CD away a week if they use the thing.
Your current balance is $122.
Great voice.
Yeah, see?
Good cranking.
That's good.
Kids got range. All right, let's go to the phones. And let me just say something real quick before I get to the phones. I was, always got to complain about this Fear Factor show.
Hmm.
Not the show itself, but the promos. They run the goddamn promos at 8 o'clock, like during Friends. And the promos are sort of the best of Fear Factor, which is the grossest parts. Crickets crawling out of people's noses, tarantulas on their face, and people noshing on otter sperm and stuff. Just a face full of putrid bile just dripping down. I happen to be eating, and tonight I was watching Friends, and the Fear Factor commercial came on, and like I said, it's just boom, boom, boom. It's just roaches in the nose and blood on the, looks like Carrie. The blood dripping down the face and people bringing stuff up and having it come out of their nose and stuff. And I had to quickly put my hand in front because I was eating a sloppy Joe. And somebody had a face, they have some sort of tank that someone craps in and takes a leak in, and then you got a bob for apples in it and stuff. I mean, it's disgusting, putrid.
Never seen it.
People are heaving up. People are bringing, vomit is okay. Here's all I'm saying. On the wake of the whole Janet Jackson saw the nipple kind of thing, which I don't necessarily agree with because it's during Super Bowl, fine, whatever. But here's the point. People are not done talking about that, yet primetime, Friends, NBC, people just bringing bile out of their nose. I had to hold my hand in front of the goddamn TV set because I was taking a bite of something right when a roach was crawling out of somebody's mouth, and nobody's got anything to say about this but me.
It got your attention. It worked.
Well, it takes the papers a day to catch up. Tomorrow.
I'm just saying, I'm an atheist, so, there's no big difference between a nipple and, actually, there is a difference. A nipple is much less offensive than a guy who's sucking on some squid that's been left out in the sun for a couple of weeks and is covered with maggots. I mean, that's ultimately more offensive to just about any right-thinking adult, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way, isn't it just about offensive versus unoffensive? I mean, there's certain things you see and you go, eh, that's a little. And then another thing you go, oh.
Right.
You know, I mean, you see a guy get a paper cut and you go, yeah, that's a stinger. And you see a guy get his head taken off with a girder and you go, wow, that's disturbing.
It's pandering.
That's disturbing to me.
Right. It's pandering. People doing things for money.
Yeah.
I heard some guy in the air tonight, he was hawking Vermont teddy bears for Valentine's Day.
No, Bruce, I hated the idea of you being in here tonight. I got to say, I came in and I thought, no, I hate the idea that Bruce is here tonight. I hate it.
Bruce looks like an aging child star.
Yeah, he really does.
Doesn't he look like, he looks like someone you might identify with, like being on like a big pack of kids on some show that you was
really
like,
does.
Like a year before
better
your time.
Than an aging
somebody
porn
from
star.
Like New Zoo Review,
yeah,
in 1973.
Some guy at an autograph convention who has like three people lining up.
Yeah, except for Bruce's career is not going as well as an aging child.
Why would it upset you that bring him for my?
Oh, it's just good. Okay. Hey, you know, I just thought I could bring something up and you'd go with me instead of sitting there and trying to come up with counter arguments for everything and then changing the subject. I'm in no mood tonight, Bruce.
Okay.
I got to be honest with you. I just came in loaded for bear for you. I just thought, I've already had an ass full of Bruce. I haven't even seen him in 2 weeks. Yes?
This is true. You're going to go to jail, buddy.
Where's Drew? Can we get Drew back here tonight, Ann? Can we get him? We can't get him back tonight? Not tonight. All right, let's just move forward with the show.
Where's Dr. Drew?
That's the one.
Where
Thank
is
you.
Dr. Drew?
I was just
going
to ask for that.
Oh.
It's reassuring to hear.
Poor John, too, had to come in here tonight. Bruce is going to be here. Isabel?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm really tired. Okay, so just so you know, what you're just saying about Fear Factor and stuff, and Janet Jackson, my mom's really religious, and she totally agrees with you. She thinks it's ridiculous that people care that they saw, like, a tiny bit of... I didn't actually see it, so I don't know how long it was, but I'm guessing a tiny bit of Janet Jackson's body, but, like, seeing people eat slugs is, like, going to get... You know.
I'm just saying, when did heaving become acceptable viewing? Like on Survivor, where they're all, you know, taking
I don't watch TV, but I don't. That's gross.
Oh, well, I don't trust people that don't watch
a stack of books. I get
I
it.
Know, yeah. I want to watch TV, though.
Good.
And you got Kinda Blue on, yeah.
There's nothing worse than those jackoffs who announce they don't have a TV.
You get up at 5 to jog. Like. You don't understand how people who sleep past, you know, past 5 o'clock can miss that part of the day.
I wake up at 5.
Yeah, that's right. And you're a good listener. Move on.
Yeah. All right. John.
Sorry. I'm not trying to be rude or anything. Anyway.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering, what do you thought the effect is of things like Fear Factor and just kind of indecent TV shows is on people and their development, and kind of for Drew, if you saw any connection at all between that and his patients
well,
that are so
the
far?
The only connection Drew sees right now is the connection between his head and his pillow, because he's in New York right now sawing logs, dreaming of nickels floating in the air and making his money for Trojan. But we have Dr. Bruce, who claims to be an expert at many things, who may want to weigh in on this. But what's that?
Why does Drew work for Trojan?
They pay him.
But he's such a good...
Well, there's nothing wrong with condoms.
I know.
A lot of people think... I know your mom doesn't like condoms. She wants everyone to abstain and then get into the rhythm method. But for us folks who are... Something called the rhythm method.
So it's the new NERD record.
The point is we're all living on the planet Earth here, and we don't want too many people to get pregnant or get sexually transmitted diseases. All right, baby doll, what are you, homeschooled?
I used to be, but I actually
spent
years of high school, and I'm in college.
All right, you're in college now.
Yeah.
I guess when you're homeschooled, your parents are just like, yeah, man, this kid's a genius. He's like a, you know... Asian violin player, this kid. I moved him from the second grade up to high school.
Do you think in homeschooling the teacher hands them, take one of these and pass it? I mean,
pass it to yourself.
Just take it.
Pass it to your sister.
My parents were very hard on me, though. My father would make me study for tests and then hide all my books, and I would have to take it, and he would check it and make sure I got an A. And then
She's asking an
all
intelligent question, too.
You are, but now how do you, but again, you're in college now?
Yeah.
And you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
And what college you go to?
Community. It's not a good college. I mean, I'm not like, ooh, I'm in Harvard.
All right.
Do they have a sweatshirt?
Listen, yes, they do, but the hood unzips, and that's a bad sign for a college. That's how you figure out. Sweatshirt, thick sweatshirt, good. Sweatshirt with hood built in, not quite as good. Unzipping hood, bad times. And reversible, you got to get out of there. That's a trade school. Yeah. That's bartending. That's bartending. And by the way, we're going to answer a question, but reversible jackets. Anyone ever get their money out of those?
No.
Was like, anyone do that? 50% of the time I go with the orange, the other 50 time I go with the blue. No, it's never happened. All you got is the world's crappiest liner.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We can answer the question?
No. What
strong
was the question?
Oh, yeah. Strong sexual and violent themes. The issues with that would be more age-related. And what you find is that if the younger the child is that's exposed to... Even I've had discussions with counselors about MTV and the sexual themes there. And when you get grade school kids watching that, if there's an equivalent to sexual abuse. Because when you have something that's very stimulating sexually at a younger age, that can lead to some of the problems as an adult.
But it's unfair to the people that were actually sexually abused to call that sexual abuse as well. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's just not of the same degree, but it's...
Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Exposure to just about anything. It seems to me that some people have a constitution that is not rattled by it, whereas others are more easily affected by it. The brain's a little softer, if you know what I'm saying. Like, take a post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
Some people have something traumatic happen to them, and they have nightmares, and they're almost ruined by it, whereas others have something traumatic happen to them and seem to be able to get on with their life. Right. Some of it has to do with counseling and that kind of stuff. But wouldn't you agree that it doesn't affect everybody the same way, such as violent video games and things like that and violent rap lyrics? So it's hard to make a set of rules for it since everyone is affected somewhat differently by it and some people not at all. Thank you.
That was nice.
Yeah, that seems to say.
Well, it's almost as if all these rules and regulations are kind of done so in consideration of the person who is the least, it's almost the lowest common denominator.
Yes.
It's angled towards the lowest common denominator.
Yes. Yeah. But somehow chugging yak sperm and then hacking it up at prime time has slid under the radar.
Yeah, but gross has always been, gross has always been... it's always been like, Garbage Pail Kids. I remember we had the Garbage Pail Kids, and that was crazy.
God.
And that was they got to like series 112, and it was, but nobody cared anymore.
You'd go to the liquor store and look at one of those kids, and it's like a carbuncle exploding boy, some festering boils, blowing putrid pus.
Gross
out of the
has
guy's
always been
forehead.
All right.
Like, yeah, I know, but gross has changed though, because I'll tell you something. Years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, one of the first season of The Man Show, we did a thing called Drunk Say the Darndest Things or something like that. We went out and interviewed some guy and paid him $50. He had a cube of butter or something. He was all loaded, some frat guy. And he hurled. And we had it on film, and it was funny.
It's funny, right?
The Comedy Central censors, we're talking way back in 1999 or 2000, said, oh, no, you cannot show somebody hurling. This is, 10 o'clock in the evening on Comedy Central. In a few short years, we were down to NBC primetime guys just vomiting all over the place. You watch Survivor. They do all those crazy eating cockroaches and eating sea anemone and stuff. And then just turn around and you see the person heaving all over the place. I'm eating dinner. Nobody but me. But the nipple, we got to draw the line there.
Nobody's addressing the I'm not going to get the nipple thing. Nobody's talking about the right part of the nipple situation.
What is the right?
It's too far ahead, and people. It's an intellectual. I take it as an intellectual offense.
Uh huh.
It's an intellectual slight. The Britney Madonna kiss. Everyone television is always going to be above us culturally. We're always going to look up to it. So I was going to be like, what is, television is the hot girl, the louder song than what you have. It's the high school assembly.
Right.
And, the Britney Madonna kiss, that alone was desperate, and it kind of made us go like, are we that dumb? I know we're consumers, but are we going to consume anything?
Right.
But the Britney Madonna kiss was like, that was like 6 months ahead, which is about as ahead as you want to be.
Right.
The breast out is like... The person who busts up the backroom poker game because he tells someone about it on the way in. It's like the one person who ruins it for everybody.
Right.
And it's like 10 years ahead. It's not next spring.
I see.
And always takes that one person to mess it up. A Britney Madonna kiss, fun, cool, keeps the papers rolling. There's always the one person who doesn't understand the subtlety of the gig.
Yes.
Comes in and busts the door down. and screams too loud, and everyone has to go home. Now everyone has to go home.
You're saying we can turn the stereo up to 10 if we click it up a notch,
a little bit at a time,
every hour. But if someone just some jack off runs up there and just flips,
the cops
to
are going to come.
Mom's running downstairs.
The cops are
going to
come.
The cops are showing up.
It's having
up
a cool party, and one of them decides
right.
to go walking
that's
down
right.
the street drunk, ringing doorbells.
That's right. Yeah, just like my a-hole buddies. I used to beg them when they'd leave my apartment, and I would tell them, "Listen, we're on double probation here. The landlord says if we get into one more problem, one more time." And then I'd say, "Look, we got this. Is a good. Everyone can party here. It's totally cool. I know you guys are." Buzz, you got from the time you leave this door to the time you get to your car, you can't say a word. You just walk down, climb in your car, shut the door, and drive away. Talk all you want once you shut your car door, and then we can continue to party here. All went 10 seconds later, I hear him on the lawn. Hey,
yep.
One guy's taking a, the other guy's pushing him. The next thing you know, there's a fifth on the lawn between two guys.
Yeah.
And that now we're all
for
screwed.
Years.
Now
we've been
screwed.
Able to enjoy
that's
a little
right.
kiss at a time, little girl boob.
That's
little...
right.
And then someone had to mess it up for everybody.
Ratcheting up. Click, click, click. That's right, John.
Although I don't think you're going to see bare breasts during family viewing hours ever.
Not anymore, because of what John said. They went too fast.
Yep.
They're too fast. John Mayer's here tonight. He's not only a singer, a songwriter, but a thinker.
Right.
A renaissance man.
Exactly.
All right. Dr. Bruce over here.
Well, I've had anal sex and I've passed
out.
All
right, please.
Times.
The mic's still hot. Still hot. We haven't gone to commercial. I always got to tell you about that, Bruce. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll come back. We'll hear something from John's newish CD all after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. John Mayer is here tonight. Do people screw up the pronunciation of your last name a lot?
The pronunciation?
The pronunciation.
That's some ironic business right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but you know, I've heard it so much, it doesn't really bother me.
You can't articulate yourself any better than that.
I am going to play. You know, that's going to be played. You know what we're going to play at your funeral, Anderson? That and Dust in the Wind. Those are the two songs.
No, that's fine. I'm fine with it.
All right. But it's Mayer.
It's Mayer, yeah.
Is it people were saying what? Mayor? Is that what how they were doing it?
No, Mayer.
Oh, they were doing Mayer?
Oh, Mayer, yeah. I mean, I was on Saturday Night Live a couple months ago, and Jack Black introduced me as John Mayer.
Oh, really?
Which is good. I know this is going to sound like an American Idol kind of answer, but it shows me that I'm not done. Like, you know, there's still more people to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's still more people to go before everybody looks at that last name and goes, Mayer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I got time.
That's true. All right. That's good. Very philosophical.
I want to keep recruiting.
Yeah.
You know?
Jack Black could... use a good ass kicking, though. I mean,
you don't like Jack Black?
No, I like Jack Black actually. He's a dear, 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 dear friend. Jack Black lives about. Jack Black lives about 6-7 houses from me.
Gotcha.
And we've both been aware of this for many years, and we both always discuss coming by. And you know, his girlfriend Laura Keitlinger was the first chick. Co-host of Loveline, the TV show.
Really?
Yeah, and we're friendly too. Hmm. Never been to their house. They've never been there.
That's all right.
Yeah, you know? I know. No, that's how you know you love each other. It's like me and my family. I never see each other. But that's how you know. That's you know there's love. You're secure enough not to see the person.
That's right.
Katie?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I was sexually assaulted at a concert when I was 16. Through therapy and whatnot.
What concert was it?
Well, it was an STP concert, but Disturbed was the band playing.
Hmm. Oh, really?
You mean during?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like somebody felt you up from behind?
It was very small arena, and kind of had one arm around me and fingering me.
Dude, what? From the guys were behind you?
Kind of, yeah, behind to the side. It was just one person. I was 16, and I just kind of stood there.
It was one person, and you didn't know the person?
No.
there was just someone in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wearing like a skirt?
I had shorts on because, I don't know, I wasn't thinking. I was being an idiot.
Well, that's doesn't okay. make you an idiot. You can wear shorts to a concert. It's not like you're riding a motorcycle or something. It's STP concert, right? Yeah.
Okay.
You said Disturbed was the main act at the STP concert?
Well, they were the opening band. They were playing.
Okay. Hold on a second. I want to talk to my boys. Something's wrong with Katie. I mean, other than this event.
Mm-hmm.
There's anger there. I mean, there's...
Anxiety or anger.
Something. Yeah, but there's something festering in her. This event didn't help. Don't get me wrong.
Previous abuse.
Katie?
Yes.
Previous abuse?
Not previous. Afterwards, I was almost raped by one of my best friends.
All right, I'm buying that. What was the family? And we'll get back. And by the way, I'm not dismissing what happened to you right. at the STP / Disturbed concert. I'm just saying, in our professional opinion or experience, when these things happen, usually it was the groundwork was laid by a horrible stepdad or a crappy grandpa many years ago.
Can I ask one thing?
Yeah.
Are you saying that that's the reason that she didn't defend herself because it happened before? I mean, how could you?
Yeah. Well, okay. No. There's two things, and again, not the most politically correct angle to take. There's two things. When people super healthy emotionally healthy people have people accost them, but they just start kicking and screaming.
Right.
It's like trying to take a chicken and a
boundaries have been right. violated in the past in somewhere.
Yeah, people that usually were abused, and sometimes it could just be emotionally abused,
right,
tend to freeze up.
Gotcha.
And they sort of seize up, and they let the person
gotcha. Okay.
And they be victimized, essentially, and then it becomes a repetition thing. They get victimized
right.
over
perpetrators
and over again.
Sense yeah. it in someone.
It's not their fault, but it just right. it sheds a little light on their situation. Katie?
Yes.
So it was, and we'll get to this. Now, did you do anything? So the guy... The guy grabbed you and assaulted you this way.
Mm-hmm.
Did you turn him in? Did you scream?
No, I made my way out of the crowd as fast as I could. And
okay, were you there with anybody?
Yeah, it was the floor kind of a pit formed, and people spread out yeah. and were smushed together, and I wasn't anywhere near anyone. I had.
I see. With. So he started doing this, and you got away.
Well, eventually, yeah.
Well, eventually, but, I mean,
so
just
it went on for
matter,
a few minutes, or...
Yeah, how long did it go on for?
I guess a few minutes seemed okay. like longer
so
than
Katie,
that.
So, Katie, you understand what...
A few minutes would be kind of an eternity, and that's a whole STP song, right?
Yeah.
So you were frozen with fear, or you were frozen by what was going on by the event when he was doing this to you?
Yeah.
Okay, just, so you understand what Adam's saying. He's saying that... This suggests that maybe in your past it might not have been sexual abuse, but you were abused emotionally or, even yelled at real severely as a child. There are many things that can set in motion.
Yeah. You got a crappy dad?
No, parents. My mom suffers from severe depression and OCD, and there was a lot of chaos growing
right.
up. But no,
right, and that's help. Chaos is a great word for what happens in some families that leads to this kind of a.
All right,
a picture
so
later on.
Here's the thing, Katie.
Yeah.
This will be a help, and then we can all move on here. If you look at this episode at the concert at 16, it's sort of the point where your life started coming unraveled. You got to slide back about 14 years from that point. It's mom with the OCD or mom with the severe depression. Bad family unit, growing up in the midst of all that, that's where the real damage was done. So you trying to sort out the 16-year-old STP, eventually I was going to say, concert thing is really just sort of spinning your wheels. I mean, some therapy for the past, and you can work your way up to the STP concert at 16, but that's not the thing to focus on.
But also focus on the fact that she hadn't been abused before, therefore the theory that abuse kind of breaks down someone's walls doesn't hold because she had no reason to not. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Well, I think what happened here is a kind of a push, which is she was paralyzed by this, but she was able to pull herself out of the situation.
Gotcha. Okay.
She wasn't abused in a wholesale way growing up, but she did have a lot of depression,
right,
and probably a family that was sort of borderline abusive. So it's sort of her powers were at 50%,
okay,
when she got, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And also an experience like that can turn a switch in your,
right,
brain. You may,
right,
have some of the anxiety features that your mother had, and having that happen,
yes,
to you may have put you into that mode psychologically.
Yeah.
One thing that Adam mentioned before about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, especially something at age 16, what we found is that there are huge releases of cortisone, of adrenaline, other chemicals that in the brain actually support a rewiring effect.
Yeah.
And you end up having, that's where the bad dreams come from, the anxiety, the physical symptoms you get when in the future you have...
That's what happened with you and Nam, right?
Nam, huh? No, but... If therapy to this point hasn't helped...
He was used as a comfort woman in Vietnam, by
continued
the way,
therapy
years
would really help you in dealing,
yes,
with intimacy
and also
having a successful
relationship. You're angry and depressed, but rightfully so, but I can,
yeah,
hear it in your voice. So
yeah,
let's get some
good
therapy.
Right.
No big deal. I was just at the shrink today. It's good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to the shrink.
Your dad's a great shrink.
No crime there. Yeah, genius.
Runs in the family.
Yeah, Jamaican, bring some of that home. All right, let's hear something from John Mayer. How about that? You queued up there. Is it Anderson or Chris? I always forget. That's young. Chris got it. Off of Heavier Things, this is called Clarity. there, buddy. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. John Mayer's here tonight. A little something from Heavier Things.
That's the first time my musical ever, and last time my song has ever been played on a rock station. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's not so far away from rock. It's just the perception. I mean, they'll play Jack Johnson and Coldplay. I don't think I'm any lighter than Coldplay. It's just the, you know, it's the way it all plays out. And somewhere down the line, I became the pinup. So that's okay.
That song would seem like it would get crossover play.
I hope so.
I could hear that on
K-Rock. That's Questlove from the Roots playing drums.
Well, you did hear it on K-Rock a second ago. But listen, it's not the last time. The last time will be in the 11 o'clock hour when we play one more song. That will be the last time.
It's all right.
All right. Speaking of plugs, Crank Yanker on Yankers on Comedy Central tonight, 10:30, big premiere.
Crank Yanker.
I think Eminem is on tonight's episode. Take a quick break, C-Diddle. John Mayer here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Tomorrow night, I think Dr. Alter is going to be in here, the unfortunately named doctor who specializes in gender reassignment, who, as much as I wanted to say, was just a, I believe, is a quack, and I started screaming at him that, you know, these guys throw this, it's a man, It's a woman trapped inside a man's body as if it is some... Oh, I didn't realize you had that syndrome. Like this is some sort of viable medical excuse. There's a woman in you. Ah. Now I'm wrong. Now go ahead and hack the penis off by all means. I know there's a woman trapped inside... Napoleon is trapped inside of me. I'm crazy.
So 2 hours
at least
that.
I got a dude in me. Yeah, but the guy is a genius.
But Dr. Bruce, do you know anything about that? Anything at all about that transgender stuff? Because I have a question about that. It's been bugging me.
I know a lot about it.
Okay, my question is, first of all, one should not be condemned for what he chooses to click on the Internet. The curiosity...
No judgment. There's a judgment-free environment.
Internet's an extension of your brain.
You don't know where it's going. I know.
Why is it
One minute
that,
you're looking at siding, and the next minute
P-towns
you're onto
stuff.
The he-she stuff.
Yeah.
I know.
Why is it that the men who turn into women, they're not fully women by virtue of having a penis still? Why are those penises never firm and erect and large? They always seem to be shriveled, and you know, you'd think that you'd get it up for the shot.
It'd be nice. I'm going with estrogen. Shots.
What are you talking about?
That's probably doing this. Now he's not talking about transgender.
I want if I was going to be into the pre-op, the chicks with the rhyme. I would want to see robust, zesty, like man-sized penises, and all I ever see are kind of like the wet noodle situation.
No, you're exactly right, and I've written many a letter on the same topic. No. It's true. Well, I got two answers, and Bruce can help me out here. So, John is talking about pre-op transsexuals, guys that are getting the estrogen, getting the waxing and everything, but have not yet had the honker lopped off.
Right.
Okay. So, why is it those guys don't have an erection in the back of the magazines that has the he-she love thing? Now, I would say, A, they're on estrogen.
Oh, right. If they've gone through the counseling and they've already started the hormones, so it's guaranteed.
How's that counseling work? Like, I'd like my my balls and dork cut off, and I'd like to get on estrogen and shave. Okay, sane. There's a big stamp that says sane. Slap that on the paper.
But this isn't about the penis as an afterthought. This is part of the hard sell. No pun intended.
I agree.
Why can't...
I'm saying estrogen.
Oh, absolutely.
Bruce, if I took enough estrogen, could I not get an erection or have difficulty getting an erection?
It would be difficult.
Even
and
if you helped?
As you age...
If you helped.
As you age and your testosterone levels decrease.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm asking you.
Yes,
these
that
guys
would
aren't
affect
old.
Your ability.
These guys are on estrogen.
Right.
So they're pre-op transsexuals who've been taking estrogen for a year, and this is probably aiding to the fact that they cannot achieve an erection. Right. You think they could achieve? I think I could give
well,
them
wait a minute.
A good old-fashioned
if they could,
street
they would.
Style
it's,
reach
if
around.
If they could, they would. That's the promise.
Okay, I know. And the other thing is I think some of these pictures are sort of Photoshopped, and this doesn't really answer your question, because just Photoshop a nice boner on there. maybe they feel like that's pushing a
the
little
boner
too
stamp.
Hard. Yeah.
Go to the boner tool.
I like these sort of semi-flaccid, but what I call leather, which is they got a little, there's a little chub in there, but they act like, you know how guys walk around a pool at Palm Springs, which is, I don't want to flex, I'll look like a jackass, but I'll just do it in such a way where I'll do a few push-ups in the dressing room and then walk around. That's what the guys do with their penis shots.
Yeah, yeah.
You,
and know, guy,
you do this, you look like an a-hole.
It's actually a near erection made to look like nowhere near an erection.
That's
it's
right.
It's like when your mom cleans the house up for a week and then tells company that sorry, it's a mess.
Right.
Bringing the scale up a little bit.
Right. Gotcha. And when I see the near erection, I always wonder, is it on the way down or is it heading up? I like to imagine heading up.
It's a very complex process when you start
erection, balls half full.
Now, to disclaim also, I'm just talking about complete thoughts. I'm not saying that I've subscribed to any of these things.
No,
I'm just saying we're talking about concrete offering. We're talking about, and that's the only thing.
Yeah. And here's, speaking of that, and I don't look at any of this stuff either, but sometimes one can't help it when one is flipping through the back pages of like Hustler or Penthouse or something like that. I wonder, first off, we need our own page for this. Remember how I was speaking earlier about Fear Factor and guys vomiting out of their nose? It's the same sort of thing when you're looking in the back of Playboy and it's like, you know, girl on girl, hot action, hot chick, Asian action. Then you're sort of looking down and it's, hey, that chick's... What's that guy? Ah, Christ.
You seem wholly unprepared for the turns that life gives you.
Right, right.
You're like someone who should stay home.
This happens, by the way, at the porn shop, too. When you're, I want the gay section and the heterosexual section clearly divided. Like, there's nothing worse than that when you're just walking, you're doing that sideways sort of lateral shuffle you do at the bookstore.
Here's my answer.
Magazine.
Once you start getting into the baby-killing bleach so much that it actually makes your eyes water, you're too far into the store. Once your eyes start to tear, you're too far in.
My point is I have to. It's like I have to swallow it before I can taste the milk has gone bad. I know that brings up horrible imagery, but when I'm walking into the gay section, it's always out of the heterosexual. It's always Ooh, what have we here? Ooh, was it a little gangbang act? What is that? Ah, crumb! No! Oh, Jesus Christ! Guy's getting cornholed. It has to fully be in. It's like you hear the bullet, you hear the gunshot, the bullet's already in your chest.
And you have to feel the blood to realize you got hit.
That's right.
Gotcha.
John is right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the bleach.
I'm not sure I should have. Have you ever purchased what you thought was a hetero porno film and then something horrible like that happened on film? Where you
I'll tell you the closest I've ever, come to being raped is buying a porn film where the chick on the cover's not in the film.
Oh.
And there's no group. There's nobody I can complain. Or nobody wants to hear the white man's.
The chick having a different name in two different videos. Because you make a connection.
Yeah. Right. Now, yes, John, please, we got to start a group.
I'm telling you.
Start a group. Yeah. Question.
Last one. I've been looking for years at this one girl. Her name's Monica. Monica is gorgeous. It's way too gorgeous to be in porn.
Yeah, that's the one you want.
And I've been watching. I've seen her named Rosie in Club. I've seen her named Bianca in Club International.
Right.
And then you finally see her in a video, and she says, "What's your name?" And she says, "My name is Monica." And the fact that she's not American for me ruins it retroactively. Right. Every orgasm I'd ever had,
you want them back.
I want to take them all back.
Yeah.
I'm not xenophobic, but it comes at you all of a sudden, and you find out, "My name is Monica."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, give me him back."
Right. Sounds like a retarded chick from the Ukraine. I agree. No, I've had this discussion with Jimmy Kimmel many times, which is you find out they're foreign, it's kind of, I guess I had no choice but to do porn. It's not like it's not like I could have went to high school with this chick. Or God forbid, some guy did and he gets to watch this, It all of a sudden becomes, they had to do this.
It's not a discrimination thing.
Or it becomes, I imagine, in their country, everyone does porn.
Right.
This is nothing special. Those who don't do porn, those are the ones they actually are chastised.
And I've met a lot of people in my life, and I've seen a lot of porno, and I've met a lot of people at the airport out of the way that I just made me say it's a small world, and I still have yet to put a porno in and go, oh, my God, there's that girl.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
Well, let me tell you. Well, I went to North Hollywood High. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. So I had the luxury. You were in Connecticut, I guess. I had the luxury. I had many bad things about growing up in North Hollywood. But one of the good things is, you know, half the chicks who grew up in North Hollywood got into pornography. My mom, my sister, my grandmother dabbled. Did soft stuff. A lot of Cinemax type stuff. The point is yes, I did have that. I'll tell you. I'll tell you during the commercial.
Yeah, I'll tell you my story too.
Thank you. We'll be back with John Mayer after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, who's in New York checking the change slot of a payphone. Cheap, cheap son of a bitch. And we get paid the same. We get paid the same.
Not right.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Yeah. And then, Drew's always like, Drew thinks because he went to college for like 6 years, all of a sudden the world, he should be the richest man on the planet, you know. And he's like, he always goes, I'm a doctor. I go, can you believe we're getting paid the same amount? He goes, I'm a doctor. I go, okay, who makes more, you or Leno? You or Seinfeld, huh? Shut up. It's doctor. Jackass is what he is. He'll be back next week, God willing. Bruce doing he got off to a shaky start, I got to be honest, but he's back. He's found his footing.
Great.
He's really making a comeback. John Mayer here tonight. John, spectacular guest.
Thank you.
Interesting, articulate, handsome.
Going for the percentage, like I said, I'm doing all right. I'm going to back off now. You do your thing.
Yeah. See, this is how you look like a genius when you do a show. Don't get in there and filibust. Sit back. Pick your moments.
Right.
Pow. Poke that Texas leaguer up the middle. Double off the wall. So it's about on base percentage, not about times to the plate. That just hurts your average. Yeah.
I'm working on a coach.
Smart. Oop. Uh-oh. You screwed up by talking there, though. Nobody talk with me. Okay. All right. Oh, wait a minute. There's a question for John. I'm going to have to answer that. I don't want to screw with your average. Sarah?
Hi.
You're 16?
I'm the biggest fan of yours, John.
It's John, please.
I've been in Connecticut, and I know you're not supposed to say anything because Adam has the same
I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer for him. I don't want to hurt his percentage.
Okay. I don't want to hurt either because he's too good. So
yeah, I'll ask him. You have a question for him? You're from Connecticut.
I live in Connecticut.
Okay. Yeah, I've never been there, but I would imagine it's nice.
I've been spared. It's terrible. There's nothing to do here. And I was wondering what you recommend to inspire musicians around here locally, since there's not much in the scene right now.
Hold on, John, tell me.
Tell her to get out of Connecticut.
John says you should get out of Connecticut. I'm going to embellish. The music scene isn't what it could be over there. You should possibly go to New York.
New York? I went to Atlanta.
John says he went to Atlanta.
Sounds good.
I guess you can hear her.
Connecticut's nice and suburban.
Tell her Connecticut's a nice place to be a baby and make a baby, but not a great place to be in between.
Live in the same house my whole life.
Sarah, what John says is Connecticut is a great place if you got to blow a dude.
Yeah.
And it's nice if you're into the back door action, but eventually he had to pick his boots up and head to more fertile soil.
It was smart.
Again, I'm just a little hyperbole here. What I'm doing is I'm coloring it in just a little bit.
Very well done, Adam. You're incredible.
Thank you. Anything else?
I was just wondering if there could be a Jack that dork off between you and John. Talking about the other night.
Oh, yeah. I came up, thank you. it's my own ideas, which sound fine when they're coming out of my mouth, always sound horrible when people then spit them back at me. I was having a laugh with Drew. Remember that show, Name That Tune?
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, the thing I liked about Name That Tune is they'd pick a popular song, although you wouldn't know it, and they go, I can name that tune in 8 notes. And then a guy'd go, 7 notes. 6 notes. Name that tune. And then the band would fire up and they'd play 5 notes of the song. Sometimes it was funny. They'd get down to 1 note.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A guy would be, the guy just, one guy in the sax would be like, hurr. And the guy would be like, Come to Me, My Melancholy Baby. That's right! I was like, really?
Yeah.
Guy Lombardo, 1937? Really? Why? Okay. All right. So I came up with this idea, and I know it sounds sort of juvenile, but it's called Jack That Dork. It's kind of disgusting. I really don't get into it. But there and back is one. You know what I'm saying with the hand? And so Drew and I were having a little funny comment. We can play it with John. I said, now, I figured that a good Jack session, if you're good, is about 2.5 minutes. If you're good, and figuring there and back's about a second, that would then, you know, be about 150 back and forth, you know? So start at like 165. So it goes something like, I can jack that dork in 165.
I can jack that dork in 160.
159.
150, 156.
Jack that dork. You see? And we're both behind a pony wall.
And you guys can yell stuff.
Oh, it's definitely, like I said, it's like you're on someone else's court.
It's like a foul shot.
Hoops. Yeah, this guy's with those things banging together. Yeah. I was laughing. Mom's out in the audience holding the thumbs up. We love you, baby. Mom, no, Christ, no. You missed the whole point of it.
That's rich.
Bonus round is, big pictures of Vietnam.
Different gloves.
And oven mitt.
Monster glove. Those Halloween monster gloves.
Monster glove. You got to use the Arby's oven mitt. Spokes oven mitt.
Yeah. And it's all chosen on a wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, monster glove.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dry run.
What Prell. Was Drew's take
what
on
What about
it?
The Prell run? That's dangerous. It lands on Prell. You're in for a world of hurt.
Allergic reaction. What was Drew's take on all this? Was he helping you develop the concept?
154, I think I got him down. Is that what you're asking?
No.
He's a confident man.
That's great.
All right. And, points deducted for closing the eyes. You know, that kind of stuff.
Did you come up with this spontaneously, or have you been working on the concept for a while?
It's something I've been kicking around since about the eighth grade. Jack that door. All right. Let's talk to Ted, who's 17. Ted?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
I'm battling depression, mm-hmm. and I am gay,
mm-hmm.
and there's a couple boys at school.
You're gay?
Yeah.
Please.
And one of them knows that I like them, but the other one doesn't.
You're gay.
Drew, yes, we heard you. Go ahead.
I don't know what I should do about this problem, and I don't know if that's causing part of the depression or not. I don't know.
Hold on. Ted. Okay, so a couple of questions. What is the question is number one, because otherwise it smells a little bogus. Like, one guy knows you like him, the other guy doesn't?
What
kind of question is that?
What happened?
Why is this a question?
I'm just wondering what I should do about this. I mean...
Do you want to bring them both into understanding? You want to bring them both into the gold ring?
No, I mean, not exactly that. I know that I can't have a relationship from either one of them.
They're both straight guys.
Yeah.
All right. And what about the one guy? Well, first off, the one straight guy who doesn't know you're gay doesn't need to know you're gay, obviously, if he's not gay.
All right.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Kids can be cruel.
So this is semantics as to who knows and who doesn't.
Yeah, well... I'm just wondering. It's got a bogus quality to it because there's no question.
But then again, you say like he does have some sort of lilt in his voice.
Yeah,
he does sound like he's got nothing to hide.
Yes,
it's kind of like a certain up and down in the inflection.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I'm not going all out bogus. It's just usually when there's no question, there's just sort of an announcement. There's it ups the likelihood of boguosity. That's all I'm saying. So, Ted.
Yeah.
Now you sound different. You're gay. Were you ever molested or abused, or are you just straight out of the chute gay?
Well, my friend that knows I'm gay, he was telling me that when I was 11, I fooled around with another guy, and he was telling me that he turned me gay, and I said, no, that's not what happened. I've always been gay, but... Yeah.
11, that's before 12, right?
That was when I was 11.
Doesn't count then.
Right.
Before 12 doesn't count.
Yes.
Okay. How old was the other guy you were with?
At the time, 63. I think it was 16 or 17.
Now it starts to count.
Yeah, that's
so. Can I ask
abuse.
A question? Because this is like the third phone call, and I'm frustrated because there doesn't come to a point.
Yeah.
Is the depression very coming from question. The fact that you wish that you could have these people as companions, but you're facing the fact that you inevitably cannot. Is that part of the depression?
I think it's part of it, but I don't know what's causing the depression, and I was just wondering if this is a part of it, and what should I do about...
Well, how do you know you have depression?
Good question.
Because I could tell. I mean, last week I went to the school counselors, and I talked to them for a little bit, and Thursday I'm going to go talk to a therapist, and they're going to see
You know what I'd say about that on the depression side is hold off. Don't give yourself... the diagnosis, because you'll never give yourself the right one. And there have times in my life where I thought that I had depression. It turns out that I didn't, that I was just freaked out, you
right.
know?
Maybe.
So you might want to wait, first of all, until someone sits down and tells you that you either do or you don't, because they're really good at telling you that.
Have you been suicidal at any point?
Yeah, I mean, for a while now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good sign.
So Ted.
I mean, a bad sign, but
yeah. But it's a good sign. Like when they say your test came out positive for AIDS, they don't mean positive.
Coming to terms. Yeah,
they don't mean thumbs up positive. Right. They mean
yes. Yeah. When you get to age 17, coming to terms with being gay, sometimes there's a lot of stress. You don't have anybody to talk to, or it's perceived that nobody would understand. So it's a great move going to the counselor, talking to people you can trust. You certainly don't want to disclose this to somebody that's straight at that age. Guys are very uncomfortable. They're just getting used to their own sexuality. If you get a straight guy, he might...
Yeah, listen, kids are cruel. Teenage guys.
Right.
Can't forget about teenage. My friends have just really... It just left that department where they verbally abuse all those who are around them, yes?
Faggot better run.
Okay, no, that's true. It's not
that's
yet...
Not right.
But there also has to be the nugget of hope that you can turn a straight guy out. That's always got to be sitting in the back of your mind.
I chased that ghost for so many years, John.
But, you know,
big handful enough.
Having experienced probably at one point thinking he was straight and finding out the ease of the trans, the translation into being gay, you probably have to have, some candle lit for the idea that you might be these two guys who we'll call Derek and Troy.
John. I mean, Troy, right? No, guys are, the public is definitely more fluid than they were in the, let's say, the 50s, although guys, not quite as fluid, thank Christ, is the ladies, which is kind of nice. So not as big a commitment sexually.
Where do you live in the United States? Because this has everything to do with it also.
He lives in Fresno.
Oh, yeah, so he's in, okay.
California.
Okay. So you're not in the Midwest.
Ted, talk to your counselor, and as far as these two guys you like who are clearly not gay... Leave them alone.
Wait till they hit the yearbook and then Photoshop it.
Right, and then go to town. That's what I did. That's where I got my revenge.
Risk-taking behavior.
Went to town on that yearbook. That's my move. All right, let's speak to Jessica, who's 26. Jessica?
Yeah, hey, Adam. Hey,
what's
Dr.
happening?
Bruce.
Hi.
And John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Come back to SAC.
Come back to where?
Sacramento.
Oh, I'll come back to SAC. I always do, don't I?
But we went to a concert out there in July, and it was awesome. It was John Mayer, Counting Crows.
Yeah.
Opening band was Maroon 5, so you need to come back over here so we could see you again.
I will, I promise.
I just had a concern. I was just this last weekend, I'm experiencing this like, I don't know what it is. It's a... some sort of effect of that ortho, the new patch thing for the birth control thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm experiencing that every time I orgasm, it has this after effect where I go into major abdominal pain, and it's only during this time. And I was wondering, because Dr. Drew's not there tonight, but Dr. Bruce, if you had any insight on that or knew of anything that might be.
What do you mean only during
I'm going to get a snack.
Grab some.
Huh?
Grab me some Funyuns, John. Well, Bruce, first off, do you know anything about the new patch? And secondly, what do you mean abdominal pain during this time?
Cramping.
You mean when you're during this time, meaning what
it's
do you mean
like
during?
Right after.
Sex.
Right after I orgasmed.
Oh, okay. All right. What about it, Bruce?
I don't know anything about that kind of a reaction to the patch. What you're doing is you're getting this
it's
similar
not different
blood
than a pill.
Levels. Right. Well, okay, it's theoretically no different, but when you switch even from one pill to the other or from pill to patch,
right,
you're going to have different constant different levels
right.
of hormones. You're going to have mm-hmm. the same, you know, you want to prevent ovulation, you mm-hmm. but you may have changes in your effective blood levels of the hormones.
So when did you make the switch, Jessica?
Oh, about 3 months ago.
Okay. And the cramps have been happening ever since then?
Yeah, it seems that since, I think, past the past month, every time I get excited or I orgasm, it's, I get these, like, cramp feelings. And
Even excited will do it for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And so it's kind of a nuisance now because I get excited and all of a sudden I get, you know, yeah. cramps and I just, you know, I have to stop. It's awful.
But so I'll know at the next show if you're having a good time because you'll be doubled over.
But have you had any breakthrough bleeding or any other hot flashes, any other symptoms that might be related to the hormones?
The nausea, like I feel like I'm very nauseous.
You might be getting higher levels. Have you talked to the doctor about it? I would go back, talk to him, describe the symptoms, and you may need to go back on the pill or try something else.
Where do you wear your patch?
On my butt.
You do?
And my shoulder sometimes.
Okay, you move it around a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And do they make one in an eye patch form? Like, you may kill two birds with one stone. You get that sort of, you know, mysterious... Bond villain kind of vibe, and you get that estrogen, you know, you get that birth control in there. No,
no.
The thing about I was thinking about eye patches the other day, which is there's a great swing for eye patches. Like the black eye patch is like the Barclay man. He's very mysterious, debonair. He was wearing the white tux, French Riviera kind of thing. And then there's the flesh colored patch. Little cotton hanging out, stuck on the eye. That's like a transient who got infected because gave a guy $10 and got like a bad load in the eye kind of thing. Like this is a huge difference between the two patches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. One is made by Ace.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like if you just said to a woman, I'm not going to tell you anything about your mystery date, but he does wear an eye patch. I won't tell you which one. That could be a wild swing.
You're totally right. One has a thread count.
Right.
The other one.
Yeah, when the guy comes through the door with the black silk one,
right.
Oh, my, it's Pierce Brosnan, right? Yeah. But then the stick-on one, and you got the guy who's herpes is spread into his cornea now because he's been scratching himself picking his eye.
Yeah.
Now you got the homeless guy. Huge swing in patches. No other patch, I believe, has, you know, elbow patch. No. Not that kind of swing.
No.
Not kind of swing.
You're not wrong.
Thank you. That's what I love about John. See, he's here. And he's not just kissing ass. And he's not just not kissing ass because I'm saying he's not kissing ass. He's truly not kissing ass. He agrees with me.
Right.
All right. For that, we're going to play another song when we come back. Take a quick break. We'll be, we'll break a minute or so early. You cool with that, Anderson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes up for all your other times that you're late. It's great.
Thanks.
We're back on schedule.
Thanks, buddy. That never feels good when I'm done talking to Anderson. Sometimes it sounds good. It never feels good.
It's not designed to.
Give him a lecture.
Anderson would either kill me or kill himself. You don't talk to him, or possibly both.
He has that artistic spirit.
Yeah, you know? No, he's this close. He's this close. He fell. You know, he hurt himself.
Oh, he did.
Many, many years ago, but he's not been right. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that. Okay. You I can handle. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Alter, the guy who does the gender reassignment, who is... he is a urologist and a plastic surgeon, one of the only eight guys in the world that has both this. A very brilliant guy, but yet cuts guys' dorks off for a living and puts a vagina where they used to be. And knows how to do it. There's a book around here that has some pictures of that is just...
I was perusing that the last time I was here.
Yeah.
Even for a physician, it's... Right. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking.
You
the stuff nightmares are made of.
You've pulled truck bumpers out of guys' rectums, and this is still a little disturbing for you. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I was going to head to the therapist after.
He was, he stands by, again, like I said, it's some sort of medical condition if there's a woman trapped inside your body. I posed a question to, these guys are sort of righteous about things. Like, hey, I'm doing the Lord's work. I got a guy, he's got a woman trapped inside, I let her out. I said, okay, listen, you idiots. What if I told you my right arm was possessed? I was beating myself with it. I couldn't stop picking myself.
Where'd you cut it off?
Would you cut it off for me? It's like, no.
You ask him this?
Of course.
What'd he say?
They never have a good, first off, no one's got a good answer for me and anything that has to do with logic. He said, of course I wouldn't cut it off. I said, why not? I'm killing my, like, every time I pick up a number two pencil, I keep stabbing myself with it. He said, well, you're obviously a disturbed person. You need some therapy. You need, now you're talking. Disturbed. Interesting. What the hell do you think the guy wants his penis cut off is, you idiots? Jesus Christ, is there any greater argument for disturbed than wanting your door cut off?
Look at the Mars rover. You could fix it from Earth. You didn't have to go and take tools with you.
You didn't have to go whack its probe off.
You don't have to go take its probe off.
That's
right. It's a software issue, not a hardware issue.
John Mayer for president. Forget about this John Kerry.
You got to play that for the guy tomorrow night.
Yes, it's a software issue.
Yeah, it is.
You could do it from a billion miles away.
That's right.
You don't have to send the Maytag man up there with a crescent wrench.
But you got to admit, the doctor's got to be a genius to be able to make his living doing that sort
That's
of
right.
surgery. Doesn't get sued, doesn't get censured.
No.
Amazing.
Yeah.
My hat's off to him.
Yeah. Him and Mangala.
See, I'm not going to be here geniuses. Tomorrow. You're talking crap about the guys who can sit in your chair. That's something.
No, I don't care.
On the other hand, a compelling guy, funny, interesting, and obviously... just a genius to be able to hold board certifications in both those subjects. Casey?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah. I was reading an article, and it said...
Yeah, I already don't believe it, because you said reading. But go ahead.
It said masturbation caused stupidity. I was just wondering if that had any truth to it.
Yes.
Was that from an 19th century religious publication?
Were you masturbating with the magazine?
No.
Rolled it up. He made a penis burrito and he used it like a tortilla. All right, Casey. Thanks for wasting everyone's time, buddy. By the way, you want to know stupidity? How many minutes has Casey been on hold?
An hour and a half.
96 minutes and 35 seconds, everybody.
But, a lot of teenagers are concerned that masturbation does cause some physical problem.
No, they're not.
Some are.
No. Listen,
I'm not that old.
Your nerdy Christian friends believe that. But us right-thinking atheists, we don't have any thoughts
about
that. In
North Hollywood, that was never a problem.
No.
Never a concern.
You get beat off for not jacking off enough in North Hollywood. We'd find out a guy only beat off like twice in one day. I'd give him a good ass kicking. Come on. You're throwing the curve off. All right.
Okay.
No, nobody. Now, there's women. I think what is left in 2004 is 15-year-old girls who feel the urge to touch themselves and feel like maybe that's wrong. That's still around, I think. I think the guys are gone. The guy too far gone. I mean, by 13, you're on the internet. Your mind is polluted. You know what I'm saying? But there are women who are 15, 16 who, a little water in the tub feels good and they feel a little dirty about it.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly a throwback to the late 1800s, that kind of a concern. So I don't know what I'm reading.
We got a question for John over here. We got a gets drunk. Like some girls doesn't know. You want to talk to him?
Yeah. Let's talk to
someone who loves John.
That's not good radio. Let's go to the guy who gets drunk.
Okay. He's so modest. And don't worry. I would answer...
That's right.
Your question. So it could be decent radio.
The bit's still fresh.
Chris?
Yeah, hello.
What's happening? You're 26.
Well, it's a serious question, but it's still kind of silly asking. I think it's maybe a matter of sexual compulsion for the doctor. I tend to go out once a week or so. It's been happening for about a year or two, and I'm unhappy with myself waking up next to people that I don't really know,
Mm-hmm. And, where do you meet these guys?
that's good. Bars, clubs, out, friends.
You're drunk. You're drunk when you do that.
You can't get drunk.
Generally, yeah.
So you blame it on the alcohol?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think it's more of a matter of just I can't stand to be alone.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're 26. Do you have a girl? You don't have a girlfriend?
Not right now, no.
Do you remember what you've done? Do you remember everything, or are there parts of the evening you can't remember?
I generally remember everything I've done.
All right. I don't know. This is 26-year-old guy behavior.
Do you see leaving the bar without a woman as leaving the World Series without getting on base?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. I was trying to make it funny. I'm still vying for Adam's approval.
No, that was solid. I thought you were going to say with a program.
Hold on.
I didn't in the analogy. I didn't think player. I thought in the stands of the World Series.
Can we fix it?
But it was still.
Can we fix it?
We can fix it by moving on.
Okay.
We can fix it by forgetting about it.
All right. So my mom used to tell me, you can help by just getting out of my light.
Yeah,
you can help by leaving.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm just trying, because I can kind of weigh in on this a little bit. This is my pregnancy patch.
Go, baby.
Do you see it kind of like, do you see it like leaving the bar without a woman means that you didn't win that night?
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. You sleep with these women.
Yeah.
After you finish with them, do you wish they weren't there?
Generally.
You just immediately, because when a woman drinks so much, you give that alcohol in her mouth about an hour to grow, and it turns into like just the smell of paint. It's terrible.
Yes.
It's terrible. So yeah. here's my advice, and I believe this is sage, tried and true advice. Don't do anything with a woman that you wouldn't do if you had just ejaculated into the palm of your hand. Which is to say, sometimes you have to start making a decision as to whether you want to go out and eat steak for an hour and a half, mm-hmm. or whether you just want to have a power bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to go out every night and have steak for an hour and a half. You get tired of it.
Right.
You have to really ask yourself every night, do I want to have an orgasm, or do I want to have an experience with a woman? Mm-hmm. Because if you choose wrong, you'll be in bed with a woman and realize that you just wanted to have the orgasm, mm-hmm. and you'll realize that you just wanted to go and enjoy your 5.1 and fall asleep watching Seinfeld on TiVo.
John, I agree with John when he says to jack off on a power bar. I think I'm hearing him right. But his question, and this is all sage advice, but is he sexually compulsive is probably what he wants to know, if he fits that description. Do you want to know that question?
Exactly.
You want to find out about compulsion. Are you, not compulsion, but are you having a problem with alcohol? Are you having loss of control with sex, or is there a loss of control with your drinking? And those are the questions I'd want to hear about. What's your family history with alcohol?
Actually, a bit of both. There is a family history with alcohol. I don't drink more than two or three times a week, but when I do, I go overboard.
Okay.
So you're basically in the early phases of alcoholism. And with just what you've told us, and with your family history, you can continue to drink, and the problems will get worse, and eventually you'll have enough evidence in your own mind to start going to AA or to recognize and admit your alcohol.
Well, here's what I've learned from Drew, which is, yes, is what you're saying, which is usually if you're sexually compulsive or addicted, you're addicted to other things as well, and that'll sort of blossom
right
in the same garden as the sexual
once
compulsivity.
A week?
His drinking?
Well, he said two or three times.
Oh, his sex. Oh, it's sex. Yeah, here's the thing. It doesn't. Well, first off, you know, you play guitar on stage, so once a week sounds like a light load to you. To a normal 26-year-old guys, it's a pretty good run. Here's the thing. If he comes from a history of addiction, he's getting some momentum with his alcohol.
Right.
He looks at this as an addiction, and an addiction is just something that affects you that you want to stop that you can't stop. Essentially,
right. Loss of control.
Feel. So here's the news. Feel free to stop. If you don't think you can stop, then you can start getting into SA and AA and all that.
A real telling
stuff.
Thing about what he said is that he either doesn't do it, but once he does it, then he loses control. And you know, any alcoholic can quit drinking completely for a time. But I used to know a doctor that would say, "Well, I tell my alcoholics when they're still in denial, Okay, you can go out, you can drink, but you can only have one drink or two drinks, and that's where there's loss of control.
So. Katie?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yeah.
You got a question for John?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's up?
I was wondering if you could go out with any celebrity, who would it be?
If I could go out with any celebrity, who would it be?
Yeah.
You know, I never really grew up, nor do I still live watching TV and like window shopping. I don't really think that way. I don't really think that seeing someone on TV or reading about them in a magazine is enough information. Jennifer Garner, move on.
Yeah, okay. I like her too. Good answer. Hey, you know the move I like. I like when the celebrity guys get their publicist to do a little pimping.
It's
something that nobody knows about, really.
It's window shopping on television
outside of Hollywood. But you know, people, men and women, celebrities get their publicist to like call. Like, I mean, you know, Jennifer Garner was single and John Mayer was single. And,
certainly wouldn't do it by way of radio.
No.
You know, I made damn well sure that's not a possibility before I go announcing her name on the radio.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if she is single.
She's not single.
She's not.
But what I like is a stay-at-home celebrity. I'll answer that, Katie. I like a stay-at-home celebrity.
Right.
I don't like celebrities who go to red carpets for the announcement of a video game.
Right.
Or the celebration of Gravity. Or, like, just reasons.
Right.
I actually want to set up a party every year called Celebrities Gather for No Reason. I want a mixer.
Right.
Because celebrities need to make friends with more celebrities.
Yes. The stars that are actually star effers.
Yes.
It's
that's what we need to get together in a room.
Right.
An ice sculpture.
So the idea that John could tell his label's publicist or his publicist to go ahead and get hold of... if he wanted to send over a CD, tell... And it works oftentimes because celebrities, even though they're celebrities, are also fans of other celebrities.
Celebrities date based on concept. They're conceptual daters. They don't look at the inherent values of people. They say, what is that? How does that look? How does that come off in my mind? What's the concept of me and you? You make records, I make movies. I like that concept. Let's go out. But I like a stay-at-home celebrity, Katie. I like someone who like tends to gardens.
Right.
Someone who doesn't go out. Someone who does their job. They're a salary man. They put on their suit and tie. They go be sexy, kick people in the face with high heels, disarm bombs week after week. At Alias show.
Oh,
we managed to recover the box, but it was damaged. the key to the box that holds the code that will answer the riddle to the door that will get you. It's like, oh my God, take me home.
Yeah.
She goes and does that. Goes home. Watches TV. Tends the garden. I love it.
That's right. Tends the garden, euphemism for masturbation, I'm assuming. Yeah.
But anything over four dogs is nuts.
Yes. And how many cats?
Yeah. No cats.
Two and a half?
No cats whatsoever.
No cats. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's Jennifer Garner. That's your answer. Let's hear a John Mayer song. Should we do that? I think we can. Chris, you looking good over there, buddy? I got it written down here off of Heavier Things. This one is called Bigger Than My Body.
Time. What is the motto learn? guess I'm grounded. Got my wings clipped. I'm surrounded by all this pavement. Guess I'll circle while I'm waiting for my fuse to dry. I circle while I'm waiting for my fuse to dry. Wait for my fuse to dry.
Everybody.
Unbelievable that she called, isn't it? Unbelievable. She called in.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I got the numbers.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
She's going to be waiting in the parking lot for John to exit. John is a wonderful voice, wonderful musician, and therefore really gets his pick of the litter with the ladies. I don't, because I have a sense of humor, and women love a sense of humor, but if they don't think you're funny, then you ain't the sense of humor they love, and therefore it doesn't count. You know what I'm saying?
Observation. I agree.
A sense of humor. It's like it doesn't. Your sense. You could have the greatest sense of humor in the world if you're with some ditz who's chewing gum, popping her gum, and staring at her nails. You don't have a sense of humor in her mind. You don't get laid.
Their definition when a woman says, "Oh, he's got a great sense of humor," is not my or your definition of.
Yeah, they're thinking more Hasselhoff funny, maybe Howie Mandel funny. They're not thinking.
But at the same time, yeah. When I talk about liking celebrities or who's my favorite celebrity, who I wish I could be with, I don't feel any closer. I honestly don't feel any closer. I don't feel like I got my celebrity card in the mail with the glue I could play with on the envelope that says you can now have access to everything. If I pass a celebrity in the airport, I don't know that guy any better than the person who passed right before me.
But here's your key to sexual success is you get them in the audience. You get them in the audience of one of your shows, and if they make it backstage and they're not with anybody, it's game on. It's game. Da, 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 da. Let me work with you.
You're right.
John.
No, you're right.
Let me work with
you're
you.
Absolutely
Let me
right.
broker.
But I need a handicap, so I need to take it outside of that situation. This is absolutely true. If you're going to have a girl come backstage, you've got to immediately move it to a neutral position because
right.
it's too much of a home game. You got to take the game to Houston.
What are you saying? It's like you get to put a horseshoe in your boxing glove.
No,
you take that win.
But no, it's
gotta,
a
let
no.
Me handle
listen,
it. Let me handle it. I'll get backstage. I'll do the brokering. Just let me backstage.
You're missing one crucial point.
What is that?
Somewhere down the line, the woman looks at you and says, oh my God, that was easy. Wait a minute. That was too easy. And then they say this, which inevitably every woman will say to you, you do this all the time, don't you? So what you have to do is, if you really like somebody, you say, you know what? We're gonna skip tonight. We're going to effectively remove tonight from my advantage base. And we're going to move this. I'm going to wait. Give me your email address. Don't even give me your phone number. And I'm going to prove to you, because at some point down the line, it's too good to be true. And they look at you and they go, wait a minute. And they put two and two together, which Hollywood people don't do enough. Look who I stole from so-and-so. Well, it's going to happen on the back end, too.
No.
You got to prove the way
you're
in.
You're right. And all you got to do is hold out. You have one dry night, and then each chick that comes back, you push back. So you get to nail the one from last night tonight. And the one you push
staggered
back,
system.
You nail her the next night. Perfect.
That's
diabolical.
Good.
We have to take a break. I'm glad we worked that out. John Mayer is here. He says, one dry night, and then that's it. The rest, boom. It's a dominoes. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. John Mayer is here tonight. And been a banner guest, by the way. Bruce, you've been here, 50 times.
Yes. 14 years.
150 times.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen guests come, you've seen them go. Not many better than John.
No.
Yes?
Thank you.
I'm honestly not blowing hot air. He's probably in the top two guests I've ever been here with.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Chris?
Yo, Adam.
You're 21. What's up?
First of all, Adam, you are my God. John Mayer, thank you. Your music just kicks ass, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I was just calling to ask you a question. I've been dating a girl for about 4 months now. We've been having sex on a pretty regular basis. Mm-hmm. And but she could never, orgasm. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It was kind of a concern. She said she'd never orgasmed before. She's only 19. But we tried anal sex, and she got off. So I was wondering if there's any reason for that.
Yahtzee.
Well, not to say that anal sex is abnormal or wrong.
Deviant.
But fact,
as a Christian.
The fact that it took that for her to orgasm, there could be some abuse in the past. It could be related to that.
Chris?
Does she have issues? Does she have other issues? Any kind of known problems?
I don't know. I've kind of thought that she does have, a little bit of a little girl voice, but not, I don't know, not, you know.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Let me tell you something about the anus is a it's an unforgiving mistress. As my grandfather was a mariner. he used to say. I think he was confused. But here's the whole thing. It sounds great. Hey, man, this chick wants it in the ass. She wants it every night. Eventually, it becomes a burden. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's like some Twilight Zone where somebody says, you get to eat a banana split for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's like, fantastic. And then cut to 3 weeks later, and the guy's vomiting every time he looks at a marshmallow sauce.
So it's supposed to be like wet food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, for a pet. Yeah,
right.
You gotta mix a little kibble in every once in a while. Keep it real. You have something to go off of. You need a starting place.
So it's not a fetish, but some people need a certain abnormal or unusual stimulation to have sexual.
Well, why
arousal.
Does this have to be? Why can't it be physical though? Are we ruling out?
Nah, we're only ruling it out because
Loveline
everybody
followers.
Calls this show's got some issue. Usually, here's the whole thing. There's a handful of women who love anal, and out of that handful of women who love anal, 9 out of 10 of them are that way because grandpa gave them anal on their 5th birthday. There is 10% of them, though, who just truly biologically enjoy it. Hopefully you got that one, Chris. Even if you got the one that loves it because grandpa loved it, you're still going to have the time of your life for about 6 months, but then the wheels are going to come off the wagon. So
Yeah, I understand. It's awesome, though. It was my first time too. It was awesome.
Right. Okay, buddy.
Because you got the 2-for-1 deal. So you're probably the first person to have anal sex with her, and you're the first person to bring her to orgasm.
Right.
He might not have been the first person though.
Oh, come on.
Were you the first person?
Well, unless it was Dad, but
then you winked in the mirror. You winked in the mirror. I know
it. Yeah, you did. You did that thing. You do the wink. You do the quick pose down, followed with the six shooter move.
I was just gonna say the finger guns.
Yeah, finger guns. Pow. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you. I the anal is. I don't have a taste for it. It really. It's for a lazy guy. Who brings this sort of lethargy to every endeavor? Right. It's too tall an order for me.
You know why I don't like it? Because I know I've never met a woman who was like, just put it there. I'm itching there. It's like I'm always presented with it like I want you to have this.
Right.
And all of a sudden I don't want that because it kills it for me. So I don't want to do it unless there was a girl who's just like X marks the spot. You gotta hit that mark. Then I would. I want to be the one performing the task.
Yes.
When a woman says, "I heard it feels," I don't need that.
Now, I don't need your rectal charity.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. I don't need your RC. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Dr. Bruce,
John's
doing a wonderful job.
Best guest ever.
John Mayer, best guest ever. Welcome back anytime.
Thank
what
you.
What is this, to argue with you in front of him? heavier Things, name of the CD, a delight. Never met John before, but we're thick as thieves.
Thanks.
He may soon be my one only and only celebrity friend, except for Dr. Drew. And, of course, myself. I do count myself. So you'd be number three. We'll take ourselves a extendo 22-hour break. Dr. Alter in here to talk about lopping off peni tomorrow night. And, again, thanks to John Mayer, who's going to be a regular now.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
Bruce looks like an aging child star.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.